next meeting.
Good evening, everybody. I'm going to call this meeting to order. Will you join us for the Pledge of Allegiance, please?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right. Note to self, next month we got to remember to move this table over so that everybody's not pledging to the back of your head.
I did notice that I was right in front of it all of a sudden.
Right, stand there. Okay, I'm going to declare a quorum with all three board members present. And we'll move on to Michael's minutes from the meeting last month. Again, see a couple new faces. So he summarized the minutes from the meeting. He sends these to us by email. We go back and forth just a little bit if there's little things we need to change. Nothing substantial. And then we vote to approve them in this meeting. So I'll put a motion on the table to accept the May 16th meeting minutes from last month. So moved.
Second.
Motion made and seconded. Those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
And if anybody wonders, I listened to the recording, so yes, I can vote on this.
Yeah. Exactly. All right. And we'll go right into our board reports with Robert, our overseer. So we got, again, a couple new faces. And Robert McGowan, our overseer, 30 years experience with Sedgwick County, decided he wanted something less political. He literally said that in his interview, to come to Pleasant Township.
Well,
he's been with
a long story.
He's been with us since September.
Basically, last month was clean up my tire gun up. We hand patched several roads, dug ditch, and repaired culvert at Tewapany 148. Repaired the boom driveline boom mower, put cones out for high water areas that were impassable several times. We did a lot of blade repair on four shaft places, and that room was just disastrous, so, in places. We hauled 1,105.7 tons of rock and used 6.35 tons of coal patch. You had 550.07 hours of labor, 44 gallons of unleaded red diesel, 771, and green diesel, 237.3. Most of the equipment's in pretty good shape, other than that one John Deere, the instrument panel still needs to be repaired, but I don't know if they're going to pay to do that or not.
We looked at the price of that a couple of years ago. It was about $2,500 just to repair the instrument panel.
Yeah, it was pretty expensive.
It was nuts, so we're keeping an eye on it.
The only thing I see about that is if we don't even know if it's overheating. If it ever overheated and we run a motor, it's a lot more.
Potential, I agree. And that's why we've been keeping an eye on the maintenance schedule.
We graded quite a bit of miles and then had to fix a lot of bad spots, so.
Yep.
Pretty good job.
And just real quick, this is just a real brief overview.
Yeah, it's just
full bullet points. I want to give these guys a lot of credit over the past month. even just grading back the gouged out areas in the road multiple times from the multiple storms. Putting out cones, some of that was, Doug and Steve Jones at midnight. Jonesy called me one in the morning, one night. Low water bridge, Tewapany Bridge up here. these guys have just over the past month, frankly, with all the storms, a lot of nights, a lot of weekends. This is Randy Elliott back here in the white t-shirt, our operator, and he's been putting in a lot of extra hours as well. So just to highlight that this is just a little bit of what these guys have been doing. Thank you. All right. Clerk's report, Mr. Michael.
So in preparation for the preps or for the chip seal, I purchased some vinyl that it's in sheets that I can use to cut out letters. That has been purchased, and hopefully get those signs created so we can get out on the road. I did complete the drug-free workplace certification, so I can tell if you guys are on drugs now. So, I sent you guys an email about the velocity thing. Did you guys have any questions? Did you happen to see that?
Did see it. Didn't have any questions.
Okay.
Just squared away.
Okay. Which email?
It was about why they were saying they were going to cut off our internet and electricity.
Yeah,
that's taken care of.
Okay, now that you led with the conclusion, the short version of that is we have a credit with Butler Rural Electric. In their system, they can't figure out how to. It doesn't allow them to credit towards our velocity bill. So they were saying that we haven't paid this bill, and we're saying, well, but we have a giant credit. Why do we need to? And they're okay. So anyway. Just had to straighten it out.
Yeah. And then also on another thing, I sent you guys a link to the time entry program. Have you guys had an opportunity to look at that?
I have not looked at it.
Do we even want to go down that road?
Yeah.
I think something like that would be great, because I add up all the time for the time cards regularly. If we had something that does it for me, that'd be a lot easier.
Okay. All right. Well, once you guys have a chance to take a look at it, then let me know if you have any questions, and we can try to go from there.
There again, so is it, instead of using the physical time clock at the shop, it's they physically just log in, instead of punching in,
correct.
It's logging in, log your time,
yeah,
and then the software just does all the timesheets themselves.
Correct.
Okay.
And then we can access it through our secure
access.
Google Drive, yeah.
Okay.
Or whatever drive we have.
The one we end up with.
Yep.
And then, again, short version, is there a cost to it?
No.
Oh. Great.
I mean, unless you guys want to pay me for my time, but.
Yeah, we are.
Already,
we're already overpaying you for your time.
That's right, exactly. So, no, I built it all on my own, so.
Okay, very cool.
On that, normal day-to-day operations, that's about it.
Okay. Let's see. Katie.
Let's see, I'll start with the financial report, and then we'll discuss the vouchers.
Sorry, 2 seconds. Again, to the new faces. This is Michael Seeds, our clerk. Katie Gossman, the treasurer, and myself. I'm Jeff Henge, the trustee. As I did the other names, and cover them all, I guess.
All right. On our bank balance, we started for the month of May, and you'll notice that there's two reconciliations. So what we did was we ended up closing out our one account and transferring everything to our other account. So far the transition, once I got it started, seems to be finishing smoothly. It was a little rough for the beginning, because I guess there was just a lot of miscommunication. Even though I turned stuff in like they told me to, they didn't do anything with it. So there's a little bit of miscommunication, but once we got that straightened out, everything seems to be going. So everything that didn't clear the old account, I made sure that they had that information, and so far it's all been clearing the new account. So there's two reconciliations for the old account. Before it closed out, we had a beginning balance of $258,436.69, and then we had cleared transactions that brought the bank balance down to $254,483.27. And so then when you hop over, that was what our new account ended up starting with the balance. And then cleared transactions, bringing that down to $240,880.09. But uncleared transactions and some outstanding stuff, as of end date 5/31, was $230,115.82. Questions? a little more confusing this month than normal.
So where, what page?
There's two reconciliations.
Okay, you said that
summaries and details.
May 8th is the old account.
Right. And then we had this one here.
Come back one.
Oh, come back one.
So that 258,311 is right there.
Oh, sorry. Okay, got it. Oh, no. No.
Don't get it.
No. 258. She said it's supposed to be 254,438. And this shows 258,311,69.
I think she said it in
the
second.
And I could be totally looking at the
She did say that. All right, question. You said it was, verbally you said it was this number that carried over to the beginning balance?
It should be the 258,311,69, the cleared bank balance.
Okay.
Yes. It's the one that carried over to the beginning. But we had some unclear transactions and stuff.
Verbally, you just said that that one was one. That's why it didn't match.
So the 258,311,69 is the one that carried over.
Got it.
From the one account to the new account.
Cool. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Good on that, then we'll move on to the vouchers. So I sent everything in, and then we added something on. So I want to go ahead and wait to vote on the add-on until after we get to the business, because the add-on will coincide with board business number 2.
Okay.
I was looking at our Butler Rural Electric credit that we've still got, and it won't cover our next hit. So I wanted to go ahead and get that payment out. So that was the only change that I put on the vouchers. Everything else should be what I sent you guys earlier. So on the vouchers, what I do is I take everything that I'm given, invoices, statements, receipts, all that stuff, and I compile it together to a voucher list. I send a rough draft and make sure they've got a copy of anything that I collected. Michael gets all the mail, so he scans all that stuff in, and then I scan whatever I collect from individuals, and then we take all that stuff together to compile the voucher list, and then I send that over to Michael and Jeff via email, and they review it all, and if they don't say that I missed something, then
we match against receipts, right? Okay, so tell you what, then I'm going to change the order just slightly. I'm going to move down to board business number 2 on your agenda. In the past, we have in our what we voted on that we would have a maximum of $600 as far as what our prepayment limit is to Butler when we write checks to them. So now that we have the internet bill as well, I'm going to put a motion on the table to increase that limit on our prepayments to $1,200. Per prepayment. I put in here, as you can see in parentheses, we do that about twice a year. That's a rough cost on that. And that's to Butler Rural Electric for our electric and internet. So moved.
A second.
Motion made and seconded. Those in favor?
Can I make a comment real quick?
Sorry, sure.
I should ask. And I don't remember if I put it on my email, but we need to make sure that when we write this check.
You did.
I did? Okay.
The account numbers and specifying dollars to dollars.
Right.
Okay.
I'll handwrite that on the check. I'm sorry I missed to do that.
That's all right.
Okay. Then I'm good.
Okay. Let's see. We have a motion made and seconded. Those in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay. So now if you want a motion.
Okay.
On the vouchers.
We're good on that then? Okay. Yeah. So now that that has been approved, I move to accept the vouchers incurred in May 2019 and pay out all that.
I second that motion. Motion's been made and seconded on the May vouchers. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Sorry, and Vouchers are just a fancy word for the checks, paying the bills. I don't know where that ever came from, but that's all it is, just paying the bills. Okay, did you have anything else?
I probably did, but I don't know.
Sorry, if you think of it, come back to it. All right, in my trustees report, a couple quick things. I talked to Butler County about 120th Street, just west of Indianola. There's a bridge there that goes over the creek that some call, it's been nicknamed Scary Bridge. Apparently we have a couple scary bridges around here. We don't actually maintain that particular mile in our agreement. That's a border road. So Bruno is the township north of us. They actually maintain that road. But just to give everybody a heads up, let's see, KDOT has a contract with B&D Engineering. Approximately July 15th, they're going to start, they're going to tear out that bridge and put in a new one. So that stretch on 120th there, right near Indianola, you may not be able to get through there if something's taking you that way. Oh, you had an update on the 2018 audit.
Oh, yeah. I bought ES pictures.
You knew there was something else. It was in the back of your head.
I have been running 90 miles an hour. Seems like nonstop. Got a lot going on right now. 2018 audit. I have gone through, and I have got, I believe, everything of mine electronic onto a USB to give to the auditor, and I have everything compiled, I hope, how he wants it this time. So I changed up how I put all my material together for 2018 compared to what he had wanted for what I had done the previous years. He made a comment on the previous years, and so I went and I changed up my filing process for 2018. So hopefully it's how he wanted it. But yeah, that should be ready to go to the auditor. I've just got to make sure that Jeff and Michael don't have anything else that they might want to add in there.
At the moment.
So
I'll look through it. I'm soon.
Yeah. So I gave them a copy of everything that I put on the USB drive. I also brought the box if you guys want to glance through it at all or add anything to it.
Okay.
So hopefully we can then
The box is all the hard copies of the receipts and bank statements and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. So once Jeff and or Michael tell me that turn it over to the auditor, we'll turn it over to the auditor.
Good. Cool. All right. Awesome. Let's see. This within the past week you might have seen a big machine out on 170th, 140th Prairie Creek. We were able to rent a sky trim, it's called a tree saw, from Asplund. Steve Jones, one of our part-time guys, works with them full-time, so we were able to help facilitate that. That's what he partly of what he does in his full-time job. So it's a 70-foot boom, 70 foot on the arm to about a 2 foot disc circular saw blade. And so we were able to, in about 3 days, he was able to chop all the trees on the Prairie Creek mile, 140th mile, 170th, a couple of miles on Metal Arc, and I think two more on either Indianola or Prairie Creek. And just able to really clear out the trees and along the ditch line in order to get ready for the help get ready for the chip seal project. So the guys have been working the last couple of days on picking up all the tree limbs that we cut down. So that's what that was. We got a couple calls because people were wondering if that was, it wasn't labeled, so they were wondering if that was the county or one of the electric companies, but it, in fact, that was us renting the machine. Okay. No. All right, move on to board business. And the first one, just the timing last month with the official chip seal proposal. The new information about the Butler County roundabout and doing Prairie Creek had just come up, so we didn't have a full price quote from APAC. We now have that, and this is for The full mile on 140th, the full mile, sorry, 140th from Butler Road to Prairie Creek, Prairie Creek mile from 140th to 150th, and then roughly three-quarter mile on 170th, starting at Prairie Creek and going east from there. So those three sections, this is to have APAC do the road prep, which consists of building up the road, grading, rolling it in, watering, just the final road, getting the road hard, crowned, and ready right before chip sealing. We still are doing the ditches, culverts, trees, and that stuff to get that ready. So the total on that came out to $96,092. Again, we carried over $108,000 from last year for the chip seal project. The new information with Butler doing the roundabout, sorry, I'll catch, again, new faces, I'll catch some of you up. Okay, real quick. Doing the roundabout at 150th and Butler Road, we made a deal with them that if they can use Prairie 160th, Prairie Creek for 2 miles, and then 140th to get back to Butler Road, it'll take them roughly 4 or 5 months at the most to do the project. If they did it in stages in the roundabout of closing down one lane, then closing down the other, they were looking at 8 to 10 months. So it facilitates them getting the roundabout done faster. As the trade-off, they're going to chip seal 140th and Prairie Creek, that first mile from 140th to 150th, for free. And then they're going to maintain 140th, both miles of Prairie Creek, and the 160th mile from Butler to Prairie Creek. They're going to maintain those while the project's going on, and then make sure at the end of that that's all, that everything's back to normal and ready to go by once the project opens then, or sorry, once the roundabout opens. So basically, financially for us, we took the monies that we would have spent on chip sealing 140th, moved them to prepping that Prairie Creek mile, and so the monies for us came out the same this year, but going forward, it means that we didn't have to pay for the Prairie Creek chip seal. So it saves us $32,000-$33,000 by making that agreement with them.
A mile. Isn't that per mile?
Well, we were going to pay for 140th anyway. And so we just moved those costs to prepping Prairie Creek. Because that wasn't in our initial number.
Yeah, but we would have had to have prepped them anyways. That's what I'm saying. That they're chip sealing.
Right, but not necessarily paid somebody else to do it. That became a timing thing. Anyway, I'm going to put a motion on the table to accept this road prep contract from APAC. Again, for those three sections that I said, it's on the agenda here. 170th, starting at Prairie Creek, going east for three-quarter mile. 140th Street from Butler to Prairie Creek. Prairie Creek Road from 140th to 150th. In the amount of $96,092, and I will be very clear, that's a close approximation because they estimate the amount of material they'll use. If it does come in slightly less, that number will change, or slightly over, that number will change, but it will be very close to that. So moved.
Seconded.
Okay, motion made.
So on close, it's going to be within 5,000 plus or minus?
I would say even less.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because the amount of material, we've already driven the roads 2 and 3 times together, so they already know exactly what they're getting into. We will continue to work on the roads right up until they do that final
prep
and shaping. And so that the estimates on material are basically just based on distance and depth.
And we're doing the culverts, we're doing the ditches, and we're doing the trees.
Correct.
They're just doing the road.
Yep.
And this is happening in August?
Shooting for mid-August, yeah. We have a deadline kind of into September. It has to be warm enough to be able to do this. And so we're kind of trying to push it out as long as we can so we can do as much prep as possible, but keep it this side of cold weather. So it's looking, we're shooting for mid-August, yes. Okay, we have a motion on the table and seconded. Those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All right. And the signs that Michael was talking about was something we've discussed to actually put out right on those roads. That those roads in particular have been chosen for chip seal. It's going to reference our website, and we'll put a lot more of this information, some of the details about how the actual chip seal will go, some of the prep work that needs to be done as far as what we'll be doing, so you'll see lots of trucks in and out of there. I'm going to say it up front. There's going to be a period of time after they put down what's called prime oil, where it might be a 16 to 18 hour stretch that we need to keep everybody off the roads. And Butler County is insisting on that in order for them to guarantee the quality of the job. So we're going to try and time that to make that overnight as much as possible. But more information on that will be coming. As much advance notice as we can give you as far as the day and date, obviously, we will do. Unfortunately, we got stuck by weather last time when APAC did our other chip seal, and they let us know the day before that they were coming. Our day kept getting delayed, and then it ended up getting 24-hour notice to, hey, we're coming tomorrow. So we're going to do the best we can to communicate a lot more detail, a lot more in advance than last time. Okay, let's see. Number three on the item of business, this is actually just in concert with the prep that we're doing. We need a big bunch of culverts for a lot of the driveways. We've got some large ones at the shop that there's a couple spots potentially under some of these main roads that we'll be doing. You can see on here we got a couple quotes. Both of these two companies we've used in the past. Hi-Z is over here in Augusta. Metal Culverts Inc. Is the company in Missouri, but they actually, their local rep, and I just drew a blank. It's Pearson Farm Supply in Chanute, who was our rep last time that we got a few culverts through them. So we got these couple quotes. Hi-Z will deliver them. So I'm going to put a motion on the table to order 30 of the 21 by 15 arched culverts from Hi-Z in Augusta at $402.96 per culvert, and that is delivered. So moved.
Second.
I should have asked for discussion. Did you guys have any questions on that?
This is a standard size, and this is what we've ordered in the past, I assume.
It is 18-inch diameter is standard, what we use for driveways, but then the arched, they just take the and squash it. It's either called arched or squash. It's the same size, but this way it gives it more room
to fill in.
Across the dirt line. It goes wider than 18 inches, but it's the same volume going through the pipe.
So this is supposed to be both for driveways and for under roads?
No, we have bigger ones at the shop for under the roads.
Oh, we already have those. Okay.
Yeah. This will primarily be driveways.
And this is for 170th/71st, 140th and Prairie Creek?
Correct.
Okay.
And I realize I've missed a thing on here. These are 24 feet long culverts I should have put on here. So moved. Start over.
Seconded.
All right. Motion made and seconded. Those in favor?
Aye.
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 All right. Did you think of anything else for your... Was it the audit thing in the back of your head, probably?
I don't know. I've been doing so much stuff, I think my brain's almost completely fried at this point.
Yeah. All right. Okay. We're open to citizen discussion again. Some of the new faces.
And I guess here's one thing that we will announce. coming up here within just a few weeks, we are going to be meeting with the county to do our budget stuff.
2020 budget.
Yes.
Yeah. Annual meeting, I think it's July 9th for us.
July 9th at 8 a.m.
The three of us go up to El Dorado and meet with the county treasurer, or I'm sorry, the clerk's office, and set the 2020 budget for next year. okay. Okay, again, to the new faces, citizen discussion, just raise your hand. Everybody gets 3 minutes. We'll go around the room. If you got more stuff after everybody's had a chance, we'll keep talking. We'll keep answering questions. And we'll just keep it going.
And say your name.
Yeah, name and you want address? Okay, just your name. Sure.
Hello, I'm Billy Eads, and I'm with the Hillwood Edition.
Okay.
And I know that James Lewis talked to you a couple days ago even.
Yep.
And so we're trying to figure out, I'm trying to figure out where we are in the go-ahead to work on that half a mile of Hillwood Road. I'm assuming that if we were going to do this chip seal, it would probably be in conjunction, same time frame,
yep,
that APAC's doing this other stuff, or at least that's what we would envision.
Yep.
And so we want to know if you're making any progress there, and we have a solution to go forward there.
Okay. Yeah, and I put Hillwood right here. I didn't know if I should just talk to it or wait for the discussion. So the update on that, put it that way. Let's see. And I've got these here for you guys to look at. So APAC came back. Their best recommendation for that entrance half mile was to bring out a pulverizer machine, dig up 4 to 6 inches of those millings, crush them in the machine, and just lay them back down on the road. That would run $35,000, unfortunately. The bids that we got from Butler County as far as a chip seal, like I said, 32, 33 range, half, that's for a mile. So we're estimating for a half mile, 16, 17, plus the 35, we're looking at 51 or 52 to redo and chip seal that half mile if we go that pulverizer route. Unfortunately, with the storms, with just having, we got a couple extra, or not a couple, one extra employee this year that we're trying to get caught up on trees, ditches, all that stuff. We're not going to have those kind of funds with the township at all. Another option that we talked about was us doing the work, which then becomes time constraints, which I don't even know if we can make that sort of commitment now versus right at the beginning of August, possibly. If we go in and we just rip up all the millings, it's just on time and material on us. The estimate we came up with there is, I don't know, 3,000 to 6,000 maybe on just the road prep on that half mile. And then the chip seal cost would be the same because that's when Butler's coming out. But that then just becomes time because we estimated 3 days maybe. The problem is the beginning, the rest. Okay, and sorry, we get into fractions here when we were talking about it. So it's a half mile long. If you take the first two-thirds, roughly three-quarters of that half mile, there's hardly any millings there. So we'd rip a lot of that up. We're not anticipating a bunch of big chunks in there. But that last quarter or third on the northern end of that, that's still holding together pretty well. We think that would be much bigger chunks. We might have to deal with those. They just might take more time to deal with, is what we're trying to estimate. So we were kind of trying to think 3 days, maybe 4 days, as far as ripping everything up, pulling all the big chunks out, getting new gravel in, again, shaping it, water roll it, and try to get that set up for the chip seal. And then the cost on the rock and just labor and machines and all that. So honestly, that kind of cost the township could probably do, but it's timing. I just don't know if we can commit to say, yes, we will do that to get the chip seal done as far as this year, because this roundabout, 3 months ago, this roundabout was just very initial stages and wasn't really in our planning, and then it kind of came through because Butler wasn't sure which way they were going as far as their detour. So those additional time
that we need to spend. That road is just crap. I don't know if you've been out there. I'm sure you have. But you know, we zigzag from the right hand side to the left hand side. We drive 11 miles an hour.
I understand. No, hang on.
You have something to do there anyhow. You know, you have something to fix that road. I mean, you have time. That's what I'm talking
about. I agree with you. We will need to spend some time to fix that road. I agree. What I'm talking about is the in-depth, dig it down, dig out the chunks to get it ready for chip seal. I'm not saying we're going to leave it alone. I know that we need to do some work on that road. All I'm talking about is chip seal ready, okay?
Well, and I'm gonna chime in that I don't even know if we could afford to do the chip seal on that though this year, because we're already going to be pushing our budget kind of tight.
No, I know.
And so adding more.
Well, part of the I'm sorry, you missed last meeting. Well, you listened to last meeting. So part of the discussion is if Hillwood pays for the chip seal part of it. So a couple different options as far as who's paying for what, who's doing what work, who's doing the prep, APAC doing the prep, us doing the prep, the chip seal. So I'm sorry, I don't have a definite answer for you, but we have more numbers. So we know what the costs will be, but I honestly don't know if we can commit to that amount of time. Well, and we just haven't.
What do you suppose the difference will be in just fixing the road so that it's usable for us and fixing it so that it's prepared for the chip seal? Because, you know, something pretty radical has to happen to that road already. You know, that road is... Yeah, I don't know if you've seen it or not. It is absolutely...
I was just out there. I've been on it literally 3-4 times in the past 3 weeks.
It still comes down to time. So the road's going to get repaired.
If it takes 6 days to get it prepared for the chip seal.
Right, I understand.
Well, how many days will it take just to give us a usable road? I mean, right. You know, something has to be done.
I know. You're saying if it's
3 days into it, that 6 days just to give us something usable.
Right, I understand what you're saying. Yeah, if it's 6 versus 3, then the additional that we're looking at is only 3 days.
Yeah.
Right, I understand. Robert and Randy, you guys, I'll put you on the spot a little bit. You guys have been on that road quite a bit. We met out there, and then I met with APAC. You know, we've talked about different scenarios. What are, you know, different options?
We had the water truck ready and the roller over there in 1 day. We could rip that first two-thirds of that half mile.
Well, and that was, yeah, and that was another. Right.
We could rip that, work it back in, lay it back down, and try to make it at least pass.
That is, you're right, and we did think of that.
A day, maybe two.
Right, not ripping up the whole half mile, just doing, right. Like we said, that worst part of the very southern.
Yeah, get rid of the hole and try to work that all back in and try to make it at least passable.
Okay.
So, day, maybe 2 days at
the moment. Okay, on that part. Maybe
I'm just not under. Maybe, I just want to make sure we are going to do something with the road to make it so it's good.
Yes.
It's whether or not we have time to get it done before the other roads get chip sealed and be able to do that chip seal at the same time. Correct?
Yeah.
Then we run into a problem with if it gets too late in the summer and it's not warm enough, then even if we had the road prepped that you guys are driving down it, it's drivable again, you know, not going 11 miles an hour or whatever. There might not be enough time for them to be able to chip seal it.
I understand what you're saying. I just wanted to make sure you consider, instead of just looking at it like it takes 6 or 7 days to prep it for the chip seal, there's going to be some time in there that's needed just to give us usable road.
Yeah.
So some of that you could act like it's against the time for the chip seal. You understand?
Oh, you're right. Yeah. We were thinking that 6 versus 3, not 6 versus 0. But that's totally, and that's doable. That is something that we talked about before, was just hitting that, again, the fraction of the fraction, hitting that. So we can, at minimum, we'll do that. Absolutely.
And then, when you say the half mile, you know, you were out there and you spoke to, I think it was Joe Dudgeon and maybe Rick Nelson.
It was Rick as well. How do you say Joe's last name?
I think it's Dudgeon.
Dudgeon? Okay. Dudgeon. I swear he's left me three voicemails and I just can't hear it when it comes through.
Dudgeon. I'm pretty sure it's Dudgeon. But I think Joe had told me that you were looking at ending at the telephone post that's there, the power post. But what I'd like to say is that if you got at least up to the Y, you know how we have a Y and you go straight into there, then you would take care of the heaviest portion of trafficked area. You know, if you leave that little bit, instead of going all the way into our area, that little bit is going to get wore down way faster because everybody has to come onto that, you know. If it's chip sealed, then the heavy traffic would be on the finished portion. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because people divide out, you know, they go right hand of the neighborhood, left hand,
right.
You know.
Well, part of what we looked at there, though, was that those millings were still holding up, similar to the rest of the loop. And so did we need to chip seal all of that?
You know, if it's possible.
But to your point, that is a collection spot as well, because that starts that road.
Hot patch out there about 2 weeks ago?
Not hot patch, it's cold patch.
Yeah.
Yeah, cold patch in some of the holes.
So that was right to lie.
Well, okay. On one west of
74?
74.
Yeah.
Yeah. There was a few out there in the
intersection. Okay. But that's a fair point. I mean, we can look at that. Yeah. You know, I think the only reason we didn't is just because the flooding was south of there, you know, across the road.
Yeah.
And that the millings were just holding up. So it was kind of like, okay, if we'll minimize expenses for everybody, we just won't go that far. But if that's totally discussable. And frankly, we'll keep talking, and that it also lets us get everything set up if this is something that you guys want to go forward with, that you guys gives you guys a chance to talk. I think I mentioned briefly last meeting was rather than trying to do a special and through the county and all of that, of just maybe get an attorney with an escrow account.
Yeah.
That, you know, keep it easier. It allows us to keep trying to set it up.
And if you're concerned about us, we're desperate to have it, so I don't think it'd take quite a bit.
I understand.
We would say we don't want it. You know?
I understand. I just know that there's 23 houses, and if you got 17 that are desperate and 6 that are kind of like, yeah, don't get it, stay out of my pocket. It can be, create problems.
I think we would even loan them the money. I don't know. No.
I understand. All right. Anybody else? All right.
Yeah, I'll say something. On your John Deere tractor there with the anchor panel, once you got to buy an aftermarket temperature gauge and put on it.
That's
they got electronic or they got the Freon type. Maybe get Steve Jones put you an aftermarket heat sensor on that temp gauge.
That's a fair point. Okay, we'll look into that.
Cost you $100, and Steve could do it.
Right.
I'd say Gail, he'd be with it. Well, no, but I mean, figure Pleasant Township price, Gail.
Yeah, everyone cried.
Yeah.
Okay. Anybody?
Yeah, one, Larry Carlson from the Hillwood Edition. Quest right now, if you put on the agenda for the next meeting, for an update regarding what's going on here. Request specifically for what is the game plan, what is the timeline to have some fixes
as far as Hillwood?
As far as the Hillwood goes.
Oh, we'll make it drivable before next meeting. I can say that now. Absolutely.
Put us on the agenda.
Okay. Sure will.
And it just seems kind of like we're going to continue to look at it, and I look at the calendar, and I'm like, the summer's flying by. We've been out, just coming down there, and a half-ton truck turns me sideways if I go 15. And I was trying to get down here to this meeting and hit at least a 15-inch deep pothole in one spot, trying to avoid another 15-inch pothole. It's caused nothing but wear and tear. I'm like, wait for the air brakes to blow.
I understand.
I think it's just, like I said, it's pretty crazy as far as what we are running through it. So if you haven't run through it for 3 weeks, drive through it again and see what we're talking about. Try to find that right little pathway that everybody can kind of get through to get through safe. And then the other question I had outside of that was, there's a lot of confusion. So we talked to the county, we asked the county, you said you talked to the township, and then, well, who does the township answer to? As a medical question. So we'll answer the people. And then just like, what is the pecking order for that? Like, who is your oversight?
In regards to?
Like,
just general oversight
general
of
everything? General oversight. Yeah, I would say general oversight. Like, if I'm mad at the county or something, obviously I'm going to get a hold of the commissioner. But Commissioner Wajak in this area, he doesn't have any type of oversight for you guys. So who is, like,
right.
How does
it's work? It's literally to you guys and the elections.
As far as us, and then you guys report to the treasurer's office, and that's it.
So we have reports that we have to file every year, also because of how much money we have going through the township. We have to have an audit done as well. But really, I don't think anything ever comes of anything.
Well,
if things go wrong, it's just because of some past stuff.
Well, I bet that 4 years ago in Richland Township, and then I seen this show going on for the Pleasant Township.
Yeah. If there is stuff that's, you know, criminal in nature that can be, you know, explored, then that will go through the county attorney, and then he will follow up with that. As far as, like, condition of the road, that is just part of the election process. Yeah, what Katie was saying, when your budget gets up to where ours is, we are required by the state to have an audit every year. So on the financial side of it, we also have a financial report that details all our spending each year to the county clerk's office. So as far as where we're accountable to where all the money goes. But I think what you're referring to is the shape of the roads. That's in the election process. And I think in an extreme example that there is a point where the county can take over a road, but I haven't heard of them doing that in I don't know how long. I mean, Gail, you've been doing it out here, how long have you ever heard of that?
Let them take over
Hillwood. Kill.
Just tell the county we're not going to do it. They look so bad that they have to take it.
It's up to Hillwood.
I have explored a little bit on that, and apparently roads have to get to where you cannot at all get through them before the county can. I mean, apparently it's maybe walking only. It's interesting what I've discovered in just trying to learn more about how this process works.
Actually, it reminds me of the one point when you get to the north part just before where you're talking about where that pole's at. In the event of anything going there, the drain off that comes off, it's just the weirdest thing in the world because it's off of Soap Netter that creek runs north to a pond off of Nelson's property from there, and then from there it floods down in the ditch line and it comes across. What seemed to be holding up to about a month and a half ago where the chip and seal was at, now that you can see the roots and stuff, the ruts and stuff that's in there causing, you can see actually where that flew off.
Yeah.
From west to east, but that was one of the major things to take care of as far as that goes, is that flooding in that spot, because it does get to, I think we've had it, even though it's big rain and not really supposed to see all the time, but we see it almost every summer now, was probably 20 inches deep. So depending on trucks, SUVs, cars are kind of stuck. Yep. You guys did something similar to an issue spot that you had just to the east of Hillwood in 180th. I think it was, I would assume, I don't know that, because that's the
where we
the
put that culvert line. In.
We put the culvert in and caused a little loop like that.
On 180th? Yeah.
Yeah. So that would be something that we really need in that exact spot, because if you go back there anytime in the next couple of days, you'll see exactly what I'm talking about. How the drain off is starting.
So one of the discussions about a week and a half ago was actually with Rick, was we're going to dig that west ditch out right there a lot deeper, mm-hmm. so that water will get, there's two culverts there. There's a big giant box concrete culvert.
Yeah, we only know that.
And so a couple things we talked about was, so three things. Digging that ditch out deeper. He's agreed to let us use that dirt and go in onto his property to berm up to force that water south more, again, towards those culverts rather than out across the road. And then on the east side there, there's that giant cottonwood tree that unfortunately...
So did you guys come out and cut that one?
Yeah, we cut the west side of it. Well, because we're gonna fell it to the east.
Oh, okay.
So we're trying to lighten up the west side. Because there's the box culvert there. There's two sides to it, and that tree is literally blocking almost half of the east side of that.
So there's a game plan on that.
Yeah.
I didn't know who we saw. I don't know if it was the Velocity trying to get a
right
sight line or what it was. So.
Yeah. No, I feel bad too. It's such a huge, nice tree, but it's literally right taking up that whole ditch, and yeah. Okay. All right. Anybody else? Thank you. I will call us adjourned.